coming to the ring at a combined weight of 610 pounds. Team No DQ, baby.
And we're back. Super Brawl 8. This is February 22nd, 1998, San Francisco, California, at the Cow Palace. Attendance was 12,620. As the tagline says, Hogan versus Sting 2 for the championship. How very, very creative. This is a WCW and NWO branded show. And you might hear in the back some cars beeping, some cars honking. That's all right. That's just a nice little Camaro outside parked in front of the house. Nonetheless, so are you ready for maybe one of the shittiest shows we've ever covered?
Oh, yeah. One of the shittiest shows we've ever covered. A fucking raccoon just tried to break in my damn car, you cuck bitch. But here we go. WCW Super Brawl.
First match, we got Booker T versus Rick Martel again.
Oh, yeah.
This is for the WCW World Television Championship. Rick Martel was originally booked to beat Booker T, but he suffered a torn knee ligament after hitting his leg on the rope during a hip toss in like the opening portion of the match. But nonetheless, we're not going to give him any points off for that because the match was shit from start to finish. So so your opinions on this Booker T and Rick Martel match?
Rick Martel comes out in the fucking silk jacket and shit. What a cut. T got dentures from fucking 1982. He got all his fucking teeth, but he's smiling from here to fucking Pakistan. But nevertheless, it was an okay match. I mean, not the match I picked for a fucking opener. You know, Rick Martel going up against one of the, you know, young upcut talents in Booker T. But, I mean, it was okay. You know, pretty technical here and there. Rick Martel had a couple solid back body drops, a couple power slams on the book, man. You know, Booker, he's doing his signature scissor kick, the behind spin kick, whatnot. He's going through all the motions. He gets ready to set up for, I believe, a Houston Hangover. Martel moves. And I don't know what the fuck is his finisher. I don't fucking know. What's Rick Martel's finisher?
I don't know. He did something.
Something important. We'll say it was a bad body drop. Did another bad body drop. Didn't get the win. The Bookman gets up again.
Houston's Harlem sidekick,
as you would call it. Scissors kick. He gets the win for the Uno Dos Tres.
After this match, first of all, this match was a fucking two, in my opinion.
Yes.
Humble opinion. After this, though, we get Perry Saturn and Booker T. So, supposedly, Martel was supposed to win this match. Mm-hmm. He didn't. So the Saturn and Booker T match was completely improvised, is what I've read. My research told me this Perry Saturn match and Booker T match was all on the spot. Mm-hmm. For being on the spot, it was a 15-minute match. It was pretty good. It was better than the Rick Martel and Booker T match.
Yeah.
It was pretty solid. Perry Saturn hit a few good moves here and there. This match wasn't anything you're going to write home about, honestly. But from what I do remember of it, there's a really nice missile dropkick from Booker T. He missed the Harlem Hangover, and he ends up hitting the Harlem sidekick to win and beat Perry Saturn for the second straight match. I gave it a 2.5. It was a little bit better than the first one.
Yeah, it was a shoot match. You could tell Perry Saturn, he just comes in the ring doing what the fuck, I don't know.
Yeah, Booker T, he evolved. He beat the shit out of Booker T in the beginning, puts him in the ring, brings the Saturn before the match actually starts.
Yeah, Booker evolved to it, you know what I mean? Saturn, he's trying to get a couple roll-up pins here and there. I think after like the third fucking attempt, he's trying to pull a roll-up, and Booker T body literally hanging halfway at the bottom rope. So
yeah, you can tell it was on the fly.
Yeah, it was definitely on the fly. But after the first, I don't know, 2-3 minutes of it, they kind of got settled in. And they, you know, went through the motions. It was an okay match. Better than Rick Martel for sure. But overall, I give it just a 2.5. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that much more advanced than the Martel match, but it was better than the Rick Martel match.
Yeah, it's 2.5. It was better than Rick Martel match, but it was obviously, like, it's thrown together. So you're getting what you got to get here. Mm-hmm. Next match, we have Disco Inferno versus La Parca. This was a pretty good fucking match. Fact that La Parca was in rare mode. La Parca was kicking the shit out of Disco Inferno, whipping his ass. He literally just, like, the bell rings and he fucking throws a chair across during a Disco Inferno, like shoot style. Disco Inferno had no time to move. It like hits him in the fucking hip and he like stumbles away. And then La Parca beats, you know, proceeds to kick that ass.
Oh yeah.
Especially outside of the ring, whips him into the barricade or the guardrail, brings him back in, suplexes him a few times. There's a moment where he kicks him in the gut and then Disco Inferno's bent over and La Parca just kicks him in the fucking head like super hard. And Disco's holding his head the entire, like after the match, he's still holding his head. There's a suicide dive after that from La Parca, and then he is hit with a stunner by Disco Inferno. And just like that, Disco Inferno wins. I give this match a 3. It was all right.
Yeah, I give it 3 as well. It was very entertaining. But Parker, he was beating the shit out of Disco Inferno. Like, the beginning of the match, he hits him with a fucking chair, like, Disco Inferno. Disco Inferno, he's like, you know, what the hell is going on? And, you know, he pushes him, pushes La Parca. La Parca literally shoots him in the fucking jaw. Oh, Disco Inferno, he's sitting on the ground like, what the fuck is going on? Tells the ref, you know, control this sack of shit. And he finally does. And La Parca, he's going through the motions. Disco Inferno going through the motions. They finally got a little bit of rhythm here, you know. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. Disco Inferno gets the win. I give it a 3.
Yeah, this show was pretty ass up to this match, and this match gives you a little bit of hope. But then right after this match, we go immediately into Goldberg versus Brad Armstrong. Here's a little bit of inside news on this one. Originally, the match was going to be Larry Zbyszko against Louis Spicoli. But hear me out, Louis Spicoli died a week before of a drug overdose.
Yay.
So,
we're here.
Yeah, we get Goldberg and Brad Armstrong. You know, Goldberg beats the shit out of Brad Armstrong. Spear, jackhammer, done. Goldberg wins. It's a fucking one. It's a squash match.
Yeah, pretty squash match. Adrian couldn't have said it better. You know, Goldberg, they're boosting him up some more. I don't even know this fucker name again.
Brad Armstrong?
Yeah, Brad Armstrong. What a great guy he is for going out there and signing the fucking waiver to let Goldberg just literally fucking destroy
him. Beat the shit out of him.
Military press, scoop slam, spear, jackhammer, ball game. Give it a 1.
Next match, we have Steve McMichael against the British Bulldog. This match was also pretty fucking boring, man. Actually, was this the next match? Oh, no, we have Jericho and Juventud. Jericho and Juventud next. This was a great match, actually. Jericho, he tries fighting with his belt in the beginning of the match. He's like, oh, the commentators are playing it up real big. Jericho goes to dinner where he showers with his belt on. He does this, he does that, whatever. They build up all the stuff that he does with his belt, and then he wears it for the beginning of the match. Juventud hits a drop kick into the belt, and Jericho's like, all right, take this shit off of me.
Yeah.
I'm done. And then, I mean, they kind of go back and forth with some nice lucha stuff. There's a moment Juventud does a springboard, like, leg lariat to the outside to Jericho. Jericho does his patented set up the steel steps on the side of the ring and fucking run and jump off of it, but he like overshoots it and cracks his fucking face on the railing. Juventud does hit a hurricanrana to Jericho off the apron to the outside of the ring, however, after the 450 splash, you think Juventud wins 1, 2, 3, but Jericho's hand was on the rope the entire time. Jericho ends up getting the lion tamer in, submits that motherfucker. Juventud takes off his mask to no like reaction at all. No one gives a flying shit.
We don't.
And that's the match. I gave it a 3.5.
Yeah, I'll give it 3.5. It could have been a 4. You know, if we could have more bigger spots. But, hey, we're WCW. This is it. It's what we got. Juventud, I remember the last pod we did, we covered him in the fucking Lucha Brawl for Lucha Fest, whatever the fuck that was. He did pretty good. Him, Psychosis, La Parca. It was a bunch. They had a bunch of good spots. Chavo, you know what I mean? But this match with Jericho, he was clearly underpowered. Jericho tried to play the half-line game with Juventud. It didn't work to his advantage. Like Adrian said, you go outside, see the steel step running forearm from Jericho, the most useless fucking move I've seen Jericho do ever, and I love Jericho. But, yeah, Jericho gets the win. Lion tamed that boy up, bent him backwards, tappy-tappy.
Yeah, and then we get to the next match here. We get British Bulldog, Steve McMichaels. Steve McMichaels, or as some know him as Mongo, Mongo McMichaels. This motherfucker breaks his arm during the match. Finishes the match, so I'll give you points on that one, buddy. But the match was boring as hell. Mm-hmm. Nothing happened. This is a complete, if you're going to just skip the match, and we'll let you know what matches on the show you need to watch, but skip this damn match. man, I gave it a 1.5. This match sucked ass. British Bulldog, you should have quit wrestling way back in the early 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, I mean, you smoked a lot of crack, so that probably didn't help. But,
not at all.
Yeah, this show was, this match was shit. The show was kind of shit, but nonetheless, I gave it a 1.5.
Yeah, I gave it a 1 as well. I don't know shit about fucking Steve McMichael. British Bulldog is way clearly past his prime. That's all for me.
Next up, we get DDP and Chris Benoit for the WCW United States Heavyweight Championship. That's a fucking mouthful and a half. this was a really good match, though. This was a really good match. Chris Benoit, intense as ever, hitting his rolling German suplexes. DDP, even though he's wearing a fucking girdle, he's looking pretty good. He's looking pretty great. Pretty solid match altogether. DDP hits a diamond cutter out of nowhere. It is interesting watching WCW Benoit compared to the WWE Benoit that we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
But all around, I mean, that's a pretty damn good match. What, 15 minutes was the second longest match of the night.
Yeah.
Man, I gave it a 4. I want, I'm ready to see more Benoit in WCW.
Yeah, I give it a 3.5. The beginning of the match, you know, was kind of odd. They're both kind of technical wrestlers. Benoit's trying to find his rhythm. You know, with the older DDP, he has the height advantage, has the weight advantage, so he's asserting that throughout the whole entire match. Benoit tries to chop him down a little bit to no avail. DDP being a veteran, you know, he's schooling Benoit right now. That's what he's going through. He's schooling him. He's slapping the shadow of him across the head. He's throwing him in headlocks. He's just showing the veteran presence of the ring, and that's all it is. Not taking anything from Benoit, considering Benoit, you know, took lives from somebody else. But, you know, here or there, DDP hits the diamond cutter. Well, the uno dos tres on Benoit. I got 3.5.
Yeah, solid ass match. A little bit of spoiler, but gonna be the best match of the fucking night. Next up, though, we have Lex Luger and Randy Savage here in a no disqualifications match. Once again, Miss Elizabeth looking fine as always. Lex Luger ends up tapping Randy Savage out to the torture rack. Elizabeth did interfere while Luger had originally put him in there.
Mm-hmm.
Luger was like, all right, he puts him down. After that, though, Scott Norton, Buff Bagwell, Brian Adams, Vincent, they all rush the ring. They start attacking Luger. Then Savage is, fighting back. He's, helping Luger. And then Hollywood Hogan comes out and says, all right, you fucking cucks, go back to the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And Savage is kind of just laying there. And they're both kind of just there. Nothing really happens. There's not much of note to this match.
Yeah.
It is important to point out that, you know, Savage kind of fights the NWO, even though he's a part of the NWO. Luger's boring.
Oh yeah.
Savage is out of his prime. This, in my opinion, does nothing for no one. It really wasn't entertaining. It wasn't much of a notice qualifications match. They just fought a little bit by ringside.
Yeah.
A few chair shots here and there and everywhere. I gave it a 3. It was better than some of the other bullshit we had to watch, though. I would give you that.
Yeah, I go 2.5. Like I said, the logic to this really threw me for a fucking loop at first. Because like Adrian said, Savage being part of NWO. NWO comes out and beats the shit out of Randy Savage.
Beats that ass.
And then Hogan comes out and says, no, leave him, and calls everybody back. Okay. But, yeah, Luger puts up Savage in the torture rack at first. Miss Elizabeth gets her half-fine, half-dead ass in the ring. Flicks him in the fucking eye. He drops him. And they go through it again. Nothing really major happened here. He gets him in for a second time. He taps. Pretty much it. Yeah, two and a half. I'm feeling happy.
Next up here, we have Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, the Outsiders, against the Steiner brothers. Mm-hmm. Halfway through this match, Scott turns on Rick. And, like, they're doing the pose or whatever. And then Scott, like, hits him with a axe handle and, like, stands over, like, you little bitch. Mm-hmm. Bark, 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 whatever the fuck he does. He refused to help Rick. Obviously, he just fucking turned on. He's joined the NWO. The Outsiders beat the shit out of Rick Steiner, Scott Steiner. Scott Steiner's like, yeah, I'm, you know, NWO for life. Mm-hmm. Scott Hall hits Rick Steiner with the Outsider's Edge. And Scott ends up handing the Outsiders the tag team championships and says, fuck you to his brother. Have a nice day, you bitch. Your son's going to be a fucking failure. You suck ass. And that's the end of the match. It was like a 2.5. I'm only giving it a half because the turn caught me by surprise. Like, we didn't grow up watching WCW, so I don't remember when people fucking turned on anybody.
Yeah.
So the turn did catch me on surprise. But this is the second match in a row that ended, like, with an unclean finish.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. But yeah, I give it a 2.5.
Yeah, I'll go 2.5 as well. Adrian really put everything on the head with this one. Good little side spot. I seen Dusty Rhodes comes out the fucking blue and just rams Ted DiBiase to the fucking ring post.
Yeeted his ass.
I actually think Ted could move it. I mean, not Ted, Dusty could move that fucking fast. But yeah, they go through the motions, you know. Scott, wonderful brother he is, beats the shit out of his own brother, links up with the Wolfpack. He dips out fucking left field. And Scott and Nash continue to beat the shit out of Rick. Fade to black is pretty much it. They're the new tag team champions, WCW.
Now let's talk about this weird fucking main event. All right. Hogan, Sting, WCW World Heavyweight Championship.
Great guy Hogan is.
It's been vacated. Oh, great guy Hogan is. Oh, what was that? Sorry, I think that's our ad real quick. I think our ad's here. Wow, that ad was crazy. It was actually Hulk Hogan was knocking on our door. He wanted us to talk well about this match, but surprise for him, this match was fucking garbage. Yeah, this match really sucked, man. People talk about Sting being great, Hogan being great in WCW. This wasn't good at all.
Mm-mm.
There was nothing about this match that I could find slightly redeemable. I mean, do you feel any different? I mean, I'm...
No, I feel the same. And when we stole this word around great so very fucking loosely. Granted, we were born in 96, 97, so we don't know any of this bullshit. If we did, we was too fucking young, dumb, and full of piss to comprehend what the fuck was going on. But let me tell you this. If you're anything over the age of, I don't know, 30, that's a reasonable age. You know, you were born about 92, 93. This was 98. So you would know the basics.
Mm.
If you think Sting or Hogan is a great, Hogan, he's wrestling with 80s, late 70s, whatever the fuck. If you think that man is a great, okay, he's Mr. American Man, whatever the fuck he is, NWO, Hollywood, who. You have to put in different specs of a wrestler's career to call them a great. They can't just be a great promo cutter. They can't just be a great fucking wrestler and can't cut promos. They can't just be a great promo and can't fucking wrestle. They can't just be a big body that Vince McMahon likes and fucking pushes like Lex Luger and don't offer nothing to the fucking table. You have to cover every single script. And neither of these guys, Sting definitely can't talk for shit.
Mm.
He comes off a fucking zip line, surprises people, beats people with a bad lead. Okay, cool. I like it. All right. Goldberg does the same shit. Just doesn't do it in the fucking dark. He comes out, sparklers and fireworks, beats the shit out of somebody, leave. He can't talk for shit.
Mm.
Hulk Hogan, let me tell you something, brother. And what you gonna do? Get in the ring. You're gonna get a fucking leg drop, a scoop slam, and a fucking hit reverse. He's gonna wag his fucking finger at you. He's gonna hulk up, and you're gonna go nuts for
mm-hmm.
it. These guys are not greats. They're good wrestlers. Don't get me wrong, but they're greats. That being said, through that fucking long ass rant, this was an okay main event. I mean, could you replace Benoit and DDP with the main event? Absolutely. Sting kind of had his hands full with the whole NWO thing, you would say. They try to come out. Randy Savage comes out. He hits Hogan in the back of his fucking head while Sting is beating that NWO like 1-on-4, as he usually does. Turns around, gets the win. 1-2-3. Some notable spots in the match. Hogan is in the corner, and the referee, I forgot what the fuck Hogan did, but Sting is hulking up in his side corner, went for a Stinger splash. Hogan pulls the ref, knocks out the ref. Then Hogan low blows Sting, hits with a fucking Hogan leg drop. Referee takes 3 days to run out from the ramp all the way down to the ring. Sting kicks out at 2. Hogan can't believe it. They're going through the whole test of the strength shit. Sting's on his knees sucking dick. He gets up, Hogan on his knees sucking dick. You know how it goes. And throughout this whole fucking theatrics of bullshit, Sting finally gets the fucking Scorpion Deathlock in, Sharpshooter, whatever you want to call it. NWO runs out, like I just said. They try to help. Savage comes out, hits Hogan in the back of the head. Sting wins 1-2-3. New World Heavyweight Champion. I give it a 3.
I'm going to give it a 2.5. Man, these are two boring ass people to watch.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, in my opinion. Absolutely. You summed up the match pretty damn great. Man, they're just so damn boring. And I tell you what, Jackie Robinson hits the ball deep. First base, second base, skips third, runs home. Is that a home run? Can you call someone a great if they always skip fucking third base? No, you can't, because they're not a complete fucking player. Is LeBron James dropping 30 if he doesn't make a fucking layup or doesn't hit a fucking three? No. But he wears Nike all the fucking time. But he's not hitting threes. He's not making layups. Is he dropping 30 in fucking free throws alone? Are you the greatest player of all time if the only time you fucking score is a fucking free throw and your post-game interviews are nice? No. You have to be a complete player. Are you the greatest of all time if your assist line is fucking zero? Conor McGregor, are you a great UFC fighter if you can only throw bows and kicks? No. You have to be a complete player. Is there a great NFL team that had a shitty-ass quarterback? Are you going to win a Super Bowl with a shitty-ass quarterback? No. Then you won't be the greatest team of all time. Therefore, if you are a wrestler and you can't hit every fucking base, every aspect of your character, if you can't do it all, then you aren't the greatest. And Hogan, you sorry sack of leathery skin, you racist fucking cuck. I say this on behalf of everyone that was born from 96 on. You are not the greatest. You're a bitch. This matches the 2. I just dropped it from my rant.
You did.
Let's go ahead and go with our awards here. Match of the night.
Benoit, DDP.
The Benoit, DDP as well. That was a good match. Worst match of the night. I'm going to go Goldberg and Brad Armstrong.
I'll say that one, or Bulldog and Steve.
Actually, I'm going to go with that one, because at least we got some sort of entertainment from Goldberg.
Yeah.
Star of the night, though. I want to give it to Benoit.
I'll say Sting win the championship.
All right.
I'll just say that for the record.
Worst of the night?
Worst person of the night?
Yeah. Ryback of the night?
I'll go Rick Martel or fucking Steve McMichael. Those two.
I'm going to go Steve McMichael. Sorry you broke your arm, bitch, but I don't really care. You suck. And he sucks then. He's like level 8 Parkinson's or something like that right now. Like, he's, that's kind of sad. But spot of the night?
Spot of the night, I would say Jericho unmasking Juventud, or Sting spray painting, you know, the WCW on Hogan, letting them know that, hey, we run this shit at the NWO.
I'm going to go with the Parker kicking Disco Fur on the fucking face. That's so late. That's amazing. Botch of the night.
Booker T, this came to my attention. He was fighting, I think, Saturday. Yeah, it was Saturday. He was exhausted as shit from fighting Rick Martel. He went for a springboard on the turnbuckle, was foot slipped. Saturn just maybe took 2 steps forward, and Booker flew over him and he pinned him like nothing happened. Like, he just missed the springboard pretty much, but it was a spot because Booker slipped.
All right.
Other than that, I didn't find anything.
I'm gonna go with Jericho overshooting Juventud. I think that's what happened. I don't know if it's a planned spot. It looks like he just overshot him in his face in the guardrail.
Mm-hmm.
All around grade for tonight.
2.5, 3.
Yeah, I'll say 2.5.
Yep.
Some people gave this show a 7 out of 10. I don't know how the fuck you did that shit.
Some people are related to Helen Keller as well.
Yeah, well, obviously the blind, deaf, and dumb don't know what kind of bullshit this show was. Okay. Nonetheless, guys, this has been the No DQ Podcast. Tay and I went through another show. We're pushing through 98. Let's be honest. This shit sucks, but are we going to bitch about it like every other podcast in the world does? No.
No, we're not.
At the end of the day, we're wrestling fans. And wrestling fans, sometimes you got to take the shit and turn it into something gold. That's not shit. Yeah, you got to take shit and turn it into gold. You got to take that chicken shit and make that chicken salad. Times get rough, but damn it, you push through, and sooner or later, we'll find a pay-per-view in 1998 that didn't suck ass.
Yep.
Hopefully. If not, we got 99. Once again, this has been the No Disqualification Podcast. I'm Adrian.
I'm Tay. And next up, we got our yearly awards for 2022.
So make sure you listen to that. Mm-hmm. Share it with your friends. Like it. Send us money. We're out. Fuck you. Goodbye.